From an early age, today's guest was just built different. As a kid, Steve Pereira found great value in experimentation and process improvement. While other kids would spend their time goofing off, Steve found ways to spend less time cleaning his room. It's carried forward to now, where his business focuses on helping software companies deliver faster and at higher quality. It turns out that he's found that problems in corporate technology companies aren't tech-related at all. They're actually people-related. And coming up with processes and flows for people to dial into and do amazing things helps decrease stress and increase productivity. Don't worry about a couple of nerds being together on the same podcast. We don't get technical at all in this show, but you'll learn some neat stuff that you can apply to your own day-to-day. Find Steve at visible.is or email him at steve@visible.is. Now jump in and see what these two completed nerds are chatting about. Someone today, earlier today, and he goes, "How do you feel about business?" And I said, "You know, these days I feel like I'm just kind of like I'm being pulled by something outside myself." And it's the same way with podcasts. You know, I just sort of show up and see what happens. I don't have to like push on it and stuff. And,
right.
And we'll just rock and roll, man. Man, you're chill. I'm like relaxed just talking to you. Do you just, is this what you do for a living? You just
I get like that sometimes. I get that sometimes. I feel like I'm semi-retired at this point. So maybe that rubs off, but I just love what I do. And, you know, I work for myself with a very small team, and we focus on, you know, that work-life balance of just loving every moment of everything that we do. And so I hope that comes across, and you know, I'm definitely enjoying the ride, as you put it. It's very much a pull thing for me as well. You know, you set up your systems, put them out into the world, and then all of a sudden, you know, the momentum just pulls you along. So I feel super lucky to be in that position, but you know, I definitely see where you're coming from with that. I've had that with a meetup for a long time. I run the DevOps meetup in Toronto ever since 2011, and we've done every month. I mean, now we do every single month without fail, and it's planned months in advance. But we were, you know, we started off slow every couple months, and you know, whenever we could get our act together, and now it just runs like clockwork, and it just pulls me along, right? I just show up and hang out with people, and it's fantastic.
Nice. Well, I had forgotten that you're like a fellow nerd. I'll say that. Like we can use that term amongst ourselves, because I mean, I'm in the DevOps space too, but yeah. So like what does your company do? I need to get reacquainted with you, and also for the people at home listening, right? So what's your company do?
Yeah. So it's a little bit unique. I imagine it's definitely in the consulting space.
Okay.
I would say sort of more in the facilitation space.
Okay.
The gist is every company or every team has like a product roadmap, right? They've got their milestones and their goals they want to build for customers and deliver into the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that nobody has a productivity roadmap or a flow roadmap that makes the things that you want to do actually possible, right?
Okay.
So what is connecting your aspirations and your goals to the how you're going to get there? And so what I've started to do through a bunch of different mapping techniques and workshops with customers is building out this, what I call a flow roadmap,
mm-hmm.
which is all the pieces and all of the visualization and process that will set you up for success. So your software delivery process, we look at it from a outcome perspective. What are you trying to achieve? What's slowing you down? What's getting in your way? We look at the value stream. We look at what are the actual activities that are going on that deliver value and put all the pieces together. Then we look at dependencies. So what are the things that are outside of your team that are affecting your performance? And capabilities, which are inside your team that are affecting your performance. So from all those different perspectives, we kind of build this view of how you're going to get to where you want to go. And the final thing that we put together is sort of prioritizing all the insights and all of the data that we pull out of those exercises and put that into this flow roadmap that gives you a very clear idea of, okay, if we do this thing and we do this thing and we do this thing, we're going to be operating 200% faster, or we're going to boost quality by 300%, or boost value by 200%. And it's all in service of that outcome that we started the entire exercise with, just building that out and looking at how are we actually going to get there.
Very cool. Very cool. You know, there was a time years ago where I was not process oriented. And now that I am, I 100% understand the value of what you're doing, you know? And it's cool because looking back, there was a time when I would be like, I don't want process. It gets in the way of creative thinking. And it's like, now, man, I can't live without that stuff. I got to like map that stuff out. My wife loves it because she's always been a process geek. And we were just talking like different things. And she's like, your brain works a lot differently. And I like it. I'm like, yes. All right. Brownie points for the wife. So for the men out there listening who are like, man, how come my wife doesn't understand me? Think in terms of process. Sometimes that helps a lot.
So, I definitely agree. I think it's really important to, you know, break down and look at, step away from what we're doing and look at what's actually happening, right? Because we get, especially as nerds, we get obsessed with little details and sometimes we miss the forest for the trees, right? So I think that this idea of stepping back and looking at the big picture gives us an opportunity to find, okay, what might be getting in our way that we might not realize is a bottleneck or a constraint. And the other thing that came to mind was, you know, a lot of people have this aversion to process and this almost an allergy to process. And I think it's, you know, if you change your thinking a little bit, the process is really the part that allows you to be creative, right? Because it takes care of all the things that are boring, monotonous, repetitive, robotic, standardized, consistent, so that you can maximize the time that you spend on creative stuff and, like, you know, letting your brain wander or doing something that's purely experimental. And I think that that's the magic of process, is getting all that mandatory, standardized, boring stuff as dialed in as possible so that we can maximize the amount of time that we spend on creative, new, innovative stuff.
Cool. Cool. You know, I guess for a long time, I thought it was just me that I hated process and like, it's just a me thing, but this is fairly widespread. Like, I guess what causes that? What causes people to be like, I don't need process. Like, what is it?
Oh, I think, you know, we get to points in especially larger and more complex environments where the bureaucracy, the standardization, the ideal of having everything nice and clean and orderly, because we're dealing with complexity. So how do we manage that? You implement a bunch of process, you implement a bunch of standardization over time, and it just grows organically, right? So I think that a lot of individual contributors trying to do something really simple, like deliver a piece of code to production or make a change or, you know, start testing out a new tool, they have to deal with all these gates and process and complexity and getting approvals and going to meetings and discussing things. And they start to, you know, really resent that process because it's not necessarily adding value. And we don't necessarily notice that it's just accumulating over time, right? And over time, you just start to see your calendar fill up with all these meetings and all these things that get between you and you trying to get your work done. And that's the type of process we don't want. And I think that's where a lot of people get to, especially engineers, the creators, the people who really want to be delivering value. Anything that gets in between and gets in the way and slows you down, you're just going to start to hate it naturally. Like, it's, that's totally a predictable outcome, I think.
Man, what a cool metric though. Like, how well oiled does a company work, you know? And if it's really working well, your calendar should be fairly clear. And I had to smile. That's why I was smiling while you were explaining that, because I used to work with somebody who was so frazzled and so unbelievably busy. I kid you not, man. Every single day she had like calendar appointments like double parked, like they were just like butted up against it. It's just like, how do you not have a head full of gray hair? Seriously, like, are you dyeing your hair? Like, what's going on? And she just like, this is just how we do things here. And I'm like, oh, there's got to be a better way, you know?
Right.
Well, so like, was that something that you just came about organically? Like, you decided to start a business to do this, or was it like, boom, we're doing this, or like, what's the lead up to it?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a long road, you know. Like, I've always had this fascination with kind of efficiency and flow and process to a degree without really knowing it. You know, like I used to experiment with a lot of things as a kid. So even back to when I was really young, for instance, like getting ready for school in the morning was a process that I hated. I hated all the steps that were necessary. I hated having to do everything every single day. And I just had this way of my brain working where it was like, okay, I have to do this every single day. So how am I going to minimize it to the point where it's not a huge pain in the ass, mm-hmm. 5 days a week? So I did things like, you know, I would keep my room perfectly clean so I didn't have to clean it, because I hated tidying my room. So mm-hmm. I set up my room. This was a week long experiment. I set up my room to be perfectly clean. And then I would sleep in the closet because I could mess up the closet and then just close the closet doors. And my parents could walk in at any moment and not complain about the room being messy. So little things like that have been with me forever. And I've always looked at, okay, well, how can I run things in parallel? How can I, you know, start my breakfast, then jump in the shower and then jump out and get, you know, have breakfast ready. And that's been since day one. And I got into my first real job was making pizza. And I was focused on like, how do I crank out, you know, maximum velocity. And that was sort of the first time that I butted up against the velocity versus value, because I would crank out pizzas and I would get people complain that, you know, like, this pizza looks terrible. I was like, right. I was like trying to deliver as quickly as possible, but forgetting the fact that, you know, the quality of the outcome is just as important as the speed. And so over time, realizing all these different things coming together and just being like this recurring theme of like obsession with performance. And my last position, I was CTO of a startup, and we grew from, like, I joined when we were 4 people, mm-hmm. and we went up to 60 people. And so I had a team of like 30 engineers under me at different levels. We had all this process that started growing and getting more complex. And I would take these different techniques every once in a while to step back and look at, how are things going? How is all this fitting together? Where are the bottlenecks? Where are things that we could improve to get better performance, or, you know, just feel less burnt out, or, you know, less buried in work. And so Visible and what I'm doing now is very much like an evolution of that. Like, how do I take all the learning from all of those experiences and deliver them to as many teams as possible? Because I think that that's something very few people focus a lot of their energy on. And I just felt like there was a gap that, you know, I'm obsessed with this. I'm going to have to do it regardless. But if mm-hmm. other people find it valuable, then, you know, I might have something really interesting.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think I can ask this question of you, given what you just said, and it's kind of a personal question, but are you the type that you brush your teeth in the shower? I got to know. Because I'm like, you can eat breakfast in the shower. And I mean, you can brush your teeth while you're at it, right? You do, don't you?
Oh, you wouldn't believe. So, I mean, I don't eat breakfast or lunch, so I go that far. And when I'm brushing my teeth in the shower, I'm also listening to a podcast at 3x speed, because why not, right? And I cut my hair in the shower as well. So, like, I've got everything all wrapped up. I'm like Kramer in the shower, trying to do everything that I can.
Oh, man. I get that reference. I get that reference. This is a family show. So I mean, no, I'm joking. But oh man, I was cracking up laughing. Seriously. I haven't guffawed that hard at a guest in a while, where you were like, I just slept in the closet so I could mess up my closet. I'm like, oh my goodness. Our oldest daughter, she's 10. That seems like something she would do. 'Cause she like, She really has to have things somewhat organized. And that seems like, I just cleaned my room. I'm going to sleep under the bed or something like that. Like, I don't want to mess up the bed, right? It's like, sleep, just get in bed, sleep on the bed. Oh my goodness.
Oh, I was a maniac with those experiments when I was a kid, but it was so much fun just to test, you know, like, why don't people do this? And just like, I've never heard of anyone trying this, so why not?
Kids don't normally do that, man. I mean, it's a tremendous amount. I mean, I hope you can look back at your childhood and be like, there's a lot of self-awareness that hardly any kid has at that age. Like, how old were you when you did that sort of stuff? 8, 10, 12?
Probably between 6 and 10.
Yeah. What kid has that much self-awareness? What kid? I literally know no children that think that way. So unique. You are unique.
You're very generous to call it self-awareness. I would call it laziness and and curiosity. But I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, shoot, man. When I was a kid, my mom used to get just so pissed off at me. She would be like, I got to go into your room and clean all your stuff up. I'm like, Mom, listen, when you go in there and you clean stuff, like, I literally can't find anything because you always put it in the last possible place that I'm going to look. I said, first, here's where I tried. This is my put on my sales hat. I guess I've always been a salesman. I'm like, Mom, I know you think cleanliness is important, okay, but when my papers are strewn all over every surface, you don't have to dust that furniture. Just leave it there. Second, it's also out in the open where I can find it. I know exactly which pile I threw stuff in.
Yeah.
Just leave it there. And you know what? For some reason, wonder of wonders, she did not agree with me. So I still hate cleaning my room. You know, you should see my desk. You should see my desk. So, well, on the business side of things, like, what have been some of the challenges that you've overcome on the journey? Like, you're so process oriented. So maybe you've been like, it's been a piece of cake, but I mean, have there been things that you're like, ugh?
Well, the saying, the cobbler's children, you know, have either no shoes or terrible shoes. I don't know which one it is, but mm-hmm. I don't apply a lot of process to what I do. Like, I feel like I'm a very creative, experimental person by nature. So for me, the fascination with process, I think, is because I don't naturally gravitate towards process. I don't naturally think systematically, I think much more creatively. And so I see process as something that I aspire to, which is why I'm kind of obsessed with it, but it doesn't come naturally to me. So I think that helps me learn because I very intentionally try to think about process and implement process. So that's something that's always been a struggle for me and always a challenge. But there's a huge advantage when you really start to look at, okay, what's really going on here and how do we make it as repeatable and scalable and optimized as possible. But, you know, starting out the company, as we've established, I'm a bit of an oddball and I have a lot of ideas that aren't very common, especially in the DevOps space. Like, I came to DevOps really early and I was really excited about the whole cultural aspect of it and what it can do for different groups. And so I've always had kind of fringe ideas about these things, and where I focus now on value streams and value delivery and mapping, I'm always looking at areas that other people really aren't looking at. At least a lot of people aren't looking at. So that can be a challenge, right? I mean, trying to bring people into my ideas and share my ideas in an open way where it's like, I have this idea. I don't know if you see it as valuable. I don't know how you see it. But I think there's something here. And I think, you know, I'd love to talk to people about it and figure out, you know, why aren't we doing these things? And is there value in this specific approach or this specific technique or looking at this a little bit deeper or in more detail? So it's always a challenge to kind of put ideas out and hope that people resonate with them and, you know, find them useful. But I really love that. So I'm always enjoyed speaking and trying to put ideas out and see what comes back. And a lot of what I'm doing is not only a new way of thinking, but a new approach to the work. Like, I used to be doing in-person mapping. So like, bunch of people in a conference room on a whiteboard. People are shouting ideas to me or different things to put up, and I'm crafting that as we go. Now it's all remote. Now it's actually everyone is contributing all the time. So that's been a real departure since COVID, and it's actually fantastic. So now it's like this team building exercise where everyone is not only learning how to collaborate together, and we're building out these maps and we're building out these visualizations of how they're working and what's not working. And that's really great. It just, you know, it's all new. So telling people about it and getting people on board with the ideas of doing these things on a regular basis is kind of challenging, because you're proposing something that, you know, people are getting along right now. They might be struggling with different things, but they don't necessarily know that, oh, it's because we aren't mapping that we're having these problems, or, you know, we have these disagreements or misalignment because we're not coming together and visualizing the way that we work, or visualizing and analyzing our outcomes or capabilities or dependencies. There's all kinds of different things that teams aren't doing. And, you know, I don't have a PhD thesis that ties all of these practices to specific metrics across the Fortune 2000, but based on my experience and what I've collected from the rest of the industry, I know that these things are extremely powerful and positive activities to do. So the challenge is sort of like building up enough evidence and enough enthusiasm behind these things to get people really excited about doing them, and then having everyone do them, because I think they're super powerful. So that I would say are the most obvious challenges. That some of the subtler ones are like just building a business, like partnerships are super challenging, right? Like the idea of aligning your business with someone else's and coming to common agreements about, okay, this, here's what I can provide and here's what you can provide. And by combining them together, we get better outcomes. But you're also focused on your business, I'm focused on my business, and how do we bring those together to be really valuable? That's super tough. That's something I'm really learning these days and focusing a lot of energy on.
Okay. You know, that's what you're talking about with the, like, at a company, right? Like, there's communications breakdowns. Like, there's a reason why, you know, the parking brake is on at a lot of companies. And it's been interesting to me just in the last year or so, kind of looking at what it is that causes that in the first place. And really, I think you'd appreciate this. Like, you've got a process, you've got this like logical flow for how things should work. And then you've got squishy humans that we're trying to plug into it. Right. And we are not logical critters. I don't care who you are. Mm-hmm. We are ruled by emotion, and we're like, oh, I don't want to ask a question because I don't want to look stupid, or I don't want to come across as humble bragging, or I don't want to, you know, be perceived in yada yada way. And it ends up causing problems, you know, whereas ego, especially in the software development space and the DevOps space too, can be a really driving factor. It sure as heck gets in the way of progress sometimes. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
And, oh my goodness. And I've seen it happen firsthand. I'm like, guys, like, cause I try to straddle both sides of the fence, which that sounds painful, but, be the technologist and also be the people person and kind of smush them together and be like, now Kith. And it's, right. It is hard. It is hard to do. Well, what have you learned about yourself on this journey? You seem like a pretty introspective guy, or you, at least I perceive you as such. Is that the intent, or you not really looking at yourself, or?
I mean, I don't know any other way to be, but I suppose I've learned a lot over the past 2 years building the company about facilitation first and foremost. You know, like, I came from a very high level of technical capability and strategic capability, understanding a lot about the nuts and bolts of the technology side of the business, how you could set up a CI/CD pipeline, get from waterfall to continuous delivery, build out microservice architecture, go from a monolith to more distributed systems, all of these things now just sit in the background of my mind. You know, like they're context that I can bring to engagements. And if teams are struggling with something that's technologically bound or, you know, technologically focused, I can bring that experience and I could say, okay, well, here's how I would solve that problem. But most of the time now, what I spend my time on is facilitation. You know, it's empathy, it's understanding people, it's getting them to contribute and collaborate and open up and come together with different perspectives and different incentives and goals and operate as a team and see how they all combine into this idea of a value stream that's dedicated to providing their customers with value, which is very far from, you know, technology, but a lot of it is enabled by technology once you get over the people stuff. So I would say that I've learned that most of the challenges that teams are facing are not tech related at all. You know, I almost never talk about technology now because the biggest hurdles and the biggest points of friction and misalignment are entirely people-based. They're entirely behavioral and they're entirely alignment-based and clarity-based, right? That everyone has a different idea and they don't often bring them together under the same understanding. Mm-hmm. That's been humongous. And it's, you know, I don't feel like I've got technical skills that are sitting on the shelf going to waste because, you know, a lot of that understanding has brought this technical approach, this very practical approach to my work, which I think is very valuable. And certainly, you know, engineers appreciate it and business people appreciate it. So I think it's been very useful, but that's where I've been focusing almost all of my energy. The other things is like the value of sales and marketing, you know, the value of clarifying messaging and being very intentional about delivering a message that resonates with people. And I'm talking about things that are very complex and very new in many cases. So boiling those things down into something that's really easily understood has been a huge challenge. And it's been a lot of learning from my perspective, but I've really enjoyed that. You know, that's one of those infinite game things that never goes away. You just keep investing and keep growing.
Yeah.
And so I've enjoyed that a lot. You know, like coming from where I started to this idea of like, I'm going to build you a flow roadmap. Like I was all over the place, you know, trying all kinds of different messaging, talking about all kinds of different things that I could help teams with, but you know, it's a work in progress. It's always going. And part of that, clarifying and messaging thing is another investment in writing. So I've been investing in writing for quite a while, and it used to be blog posts, and that's kind of fallen off because I've moved into books. So I'm finishing off a book currently and starting up another book. And I found that super rewarding because nothing really forces you to clarify your thoughts and messaging like writing does. And that's been super, super useful.
Nice. You know, I think a lot of people that are in a technical role, they feel like if they go too far into the people side of things, like they're going to have to turn in their nerd card. Like if I'm not writing software, you know, if I go a week without writing a line of code, I just have to like turn in my CS degree and run it through a shredder or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that? Like, do you feel that you are not as technical? I know you touched on this a little bit, but you're not as technical, or do you feel like you're a completed nerd because you're able to people as well as you sling code? Like what are your thoughts on that? I'm just curious.
I love that idea of the completed nerd. It's I don't know that we're ever completed, but I think that's that goal of rounding out our capabilities is very valuable. And you know, when we look at skill surveys and trend reports and where the gaps are in organizations right now. There are a lot of people who can write code. We always need a lot more, but there are so few people who speak business and tech and can take very complex, complicated problems, break them down into very manageable chunks and get people to understand those chunks and then go to work on them. That's where I see, you know, there's so few people in the world that do that. That seems like an incredible opportunity to contribute value. Mm-hmm. So that's always come naturally to me because I never went to post-secondary education for computer science. I did a business tech certification. I did a couple certifications actually at the like university level and got a taste for kind of large scale business, Fortune 2000 operating models and global complexity. And I really loved that education, but it was way behind what I was seeing on a regular basis, right? Because I found post-secondary education was far behind the industry and what I was doing at work. So I was like, I might as well just do my job. I'll learn more if I just, you know, maybe poke around in different areas at work. But that gave me this valuable business perspective and that never left me. You know, I was like, from that point, I was a technical and business minded person. And I always found that allowed me to have conversations with more people, with more common ground, and bring those people together. I could always be sort of a linchpin that could take what the technical folks were feeling and talking about and trying to communicate and bring that to the business folks and be a Rosetta Stone in between the two of them and said, you guys are really on the same page. You're just talking in separate languages and you just need to like find this common understanding. And I always found that there was a big opportunity there. And it's not something that the industry necessarily demands and that we know how to hire for and focus on. But I see that as a major driving force in delivering positive outcomes at this stage of software delivery, right? Because we've pretty much got the tech figured out. We've got a lot of really good understanding of how to do the right things. It's just not distributed properly, right? And a lot of people are not doing the things that we know we can do because it's really hard to adopt these techniques and get them actually part of your organizational practices. So that's where I see a lot of opportunity. That's what I'm really excited about.
Very cool. You know, there's a lot that the hiring world is lacking in a lot of areas. And one of the things which kind of reminds me of something you said earlier, like multiple times earlier, is a lot of it is people don't know what's possible. People don't know that there are guys like you out there. People don't know that there are those that can be that liaison between the technical side, the executors on the development team, and the business side of things, the stakeholders, the managers, everybody like that. And I almost liken it to, okay, I'm going to build a really complicated Lego model, but I'm only aware of certain bricks. And there are certain other bricks out there that had I known that they were out there and how they interact with other bricks that I am already aware of, it would have made the job a lot easier, but they don't know about you, man. You're a special kind of Lego brick that can really help bring things together. So that's really cool. I tell people, I'm like, I never know what I'm getting into when I get on with the guest, but I just really welcome the opportunity to get to know you today and find out more about your background, man. You're doing some really cool stuff. You have a cool job. I'm kind of jealous.
Well, I appreciate that. It's, it's very much by design. And I think it's, you know, it was always set up with a long game in mind, right? I see this opportunity really expanding over the next 20 years. And honestly, I feel like I'm as retired now as I ever will be. Like I work with all kinds of different companies and different contexts, but it's very much like you mentioned, it's a pull system, right? A lot of people find me and reach out, and I've got a lot to learn if I'm going to build a funnel and really build a huge volume of leads like a traditional business. But the way that I run it now, it's really enjoyable. And I'm learning how to make it resonate with people and make it easy for people to understand and say, yes, that's the thing that we need. That's the thing that will close the gap between where we are and where we want to be. So it's very much a work in progress, but I'm glad every time I have a conversation like this and people start nodding their heads and it sounds like it makes sense. It really makes it feel like I'm on the right track. So I appreciate that.
I've been doing a lot of head nodding, and I know the folks at home can't see it, but I'm like, all right, this whole time I'm thinking he's one of us. He's one of my people, you know? And I got to say too, there's something, I think I just realized why you seem so familiar. Has anybody ever told you, you look like a bald Keanu Reeves? Do you get that often? Cause I think
I
it's the beard.
I do not.
Okay. All right.
I'll have to throw some Keanu hair on in Photoshop and see what the outcome is. It might be a good match. We'll see. I'd be very, very pleased if that were true.
There's got to be some kind of a Snapchat filter, make you look like John Wick or something like that. Be like, you killed my dog and you stole my car. I'm coming for you.
Sure.
Awesome.
Sure,
man.
There is.
Well, you mentioned when people reach out to you, like how would somebody go about doing that? I'm asking for a friend. How would they reach out to you?
Yeah, well, I got a website with your standard contact form, but I do love to book meetings with people and just jump into a conversation. So I've got both of those options on my website, which is visible.is. I've also got email. You can send an email to steve@visible.is, and that would also reach me. I love to talk to people about, just anything value stream related, anything where they're experiencing friction or waste or complexity that just seems like too much to tackle. I love having conversations about that.
Oh man. Well, I think we'll probably have more conversations about that, cause I geek out about that stuff too. I've got some stuff to learn selfishly from you. So hope you don't mind me picking your brain once in a while.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've loved this conversation and I'd love to keep the conversation going for sure.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate your time today, good sir. And it's always a pleasure talking with fellow completed nerds. We can we can call each other completed nerds, because we've been on both sides of it. We can sling code and we can teach other people. And it's fun seeing other people succeed. So appreciate your time today, sir. And I'll let you get back to the rest of your nice Toronto day, what little there is left of it. And you're an hour ahead of me. So catch you on the flip side. All right.
Thanks, Michael. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast. Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.